I think Mr. Phil Rowland has really added a new dimension to the whole music experience that we enjoy here at Central. And I'm not going to get to come this afternoon. My wife is graduating with a master's degree from the University of Missouri, St. Louis this afternoon. And I'm going to ask all of you, if you please, would represent me here this afternoon since I can't be here, because it's going to be very special. Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus. And if you don't know where that is, it's book number 2 in the Old Testament. Get it out. Exodus chapter 35. We're going to begin reading at verse 4. And I'm going to also read a couple of passages in chapter 36, but I'll tell you about that as we go. Now let me set the stage for you. God has sent Moses into Egypt to bring the children of Israel out. They get to the Red Sea and the Egyptians are right behind them, after them, and God divides the sea and they parts the waters and they escape into the wilderness. And now they've been there, and God is going to take this ragtag group of nobodies, these ex-slaves, these people wandering around chasing billy goats in the wilderness for a livelihood, and he's going to make them into the people of God. And I'll tell you, God's got his hands full. God always has his hands full with people like us. So he begins to build a great nation of God. And he gives Moses the Ten Commandments, the basis of morality and ethics. And now he says, I want you to build a tabernacle where the people can worship me. Now, remember, these are nomadic people who follow their flocks about. So the tabernacle is really a very ornate and elaborate tent, and God tells them how to make it. And the objects of the tabernacle all have round rings in them where you put poles through them to pick them up, to carry them from place to place, because they move about. And so this is the event when Moses calls the people together and explains to them that God wants them to build a tabernacle. Now, we Presbyterians believe that the Bible is the only infallible rule to guide us in our faith and in our practice. Therefore, to know God's will and God's way, we must know God's Word. Hear what he says to us in this portion of Holy Scripture. Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Take from among you an offering to the Lord." Now notice, this is an offering to the Lord. Spiritually, the followers of God, the children of Israel, which includes us, are expected to tithe. That's a requirement. God requires a tithe of us. But what God's talking about here is something above what we owe. He's asking for an offering. Therefore, he says, "Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart," in other words, this isn't commanded, this is a matter of the heart, "let him bring the Lord's offering, gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet stuff, and fine twine, linen, goat's hair, tanned ram's skins and goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece." So, you know, he tells them what to bring. Now in verse 10, not only are they to bring it, but everybody who has skills is to offer the skills to build the things. "And let every able man among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded." The tabernacle, its tent, its coverings, its hooks and its frames, and so on. And in verses 10 through 19, he tells all the things they're to build. Then in verse 20, "Then all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses." He calls them together, tells them what to do, and they go home. Now, they come back, verse 21, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's offering to be used for the tent of meeting, and that's what they call the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and for all its service, and for the holy garments. Now, so the people, you know, responded. Now turn over to chapter 36, to verse 6. Now what happens is that the men who've come to build the things that God's commanded out of the gifts that the people have brought tell Moses, we've got so much stuff, we don't know what to do with it. So verse 6, so Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, let neither man nor woman do anything more for the offering for the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Isn't that amazing? For the stuff they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. Our meditation this morning is entitled, God Never Asks You for What You Don't Have. Our text, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's offering. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word, and to His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. God, as You commanded the Hebrews in the wilderness to build a tent, so we believe You are calling us to build a new building. We pray that You'll give us glad and generous hearts. Speak to us now, and God, help us to hear, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. After literally years of study, the session unanimously passed a resolution calling upon the congregation to approve a $3 million expansion program for this church. In 1978, we had completed a new educational facility and a two-level parking garage, and I think some thought, well, you know, that's all we'll ever use. But we couldn't imagine what God intended to do here in this congregation, and so already it's pushed to capacity, and if we want to continue to grow, we must have new facilities. So the session passed unanimously the resolution asking you, the congregation, to approve that projected building project. And so it was brought to the congregation, and you overwhelmingly endorsed that building program. However, during recent weeks, a very serious debate has been going on among our officers and within this congregation. And the issue has revolved around the prospects of our denomination, the Presbyterian Church U.S., or the Southern Presbyterian Church, and the possibility of its merging with the United Presbyterian Church, or as it's sometimes called, the Northern Presbyterian Church. Now, we don't know that union's going to happen. A plan for such a union will be presented to our General Assembly in June, and then it must be passed by a three-fourths majority of the presbyteries of the denomination. But we will know within the next 14 months whether such a union will occur. Now, members of our congregation have been deeply divided over that issue. And I suppose we will continue to be divided over that proposed union. You see, some say they do not wish to be a part of a new denomination created by that union because the leadership will be mostly liberal. There will be multiple confessions, and we'll be uncertain about what we believe. Some of the requirements about electing officers is not based on Scripture, but is based on age and sex and race, and many other things that they find unacceptable. So they said, we don't want to be a part of that union. On the other hand, others feel that this church would be a dynamic witness in that new denomination, working for renewal of the whole church, joining hands with other evangelicals to seek to bring about a spiritual renaissance. Now, frankly, I see merit in both positions. But the positions are incompatible. Now, there are many features about the proposed union that I deplore. On the other hand, God has always used a remnant in an apostate church as His instrument of renewing the church. So within our church, we've reached a sort of impasse. Both sides of this argument are sincere people of God who are trying to do the right thing and trying to do what they feel God is calling them to do. Now, can it be that the devil uses the best intentions and the most sincere purposes of godly people, that the devil uses that to create dissension and division in his church? You know, Central is truly one of the great evangelical churches, not only of this city, but of our entire denomination. And the devil would like nothing better than to smear the name of this church. The devil would like nothing better than to bring this church down through dissension. He would like to see us split and divided and fighting each other. Is there any way to avoid such a terrible outcome? Is there any way that people of goodwill who sincerely want to do the right thing can avoid a confrontation, a split in this congregation? I think there is such a way. Those who are opposed to the proposed union have a concern that all of us have, and that is that some changes are being made in the property laws of our church and also in the proposed union that may put our property in jeopardy. And these people who have that concern about our property have indicated a willingness to try union, to seek to be agents of renewal, or at least give a fair effort to the union with one condition. And that one condition is that our church property not be put in jeopardy. Well, I think most of us feel that way. Now, we don't want the main concern of this church to be about our property. On the other hand, if we don't have this property as a base for ministry, you're not going to have much of a ministry. And ministry is our concern, but you've got to have a base from which to minister. And we don't want to risk losing control of our church buildings and our properties, especially since we're in the process of a $3 million addition. Is there some way to safeguard our church property? And the answer is yes. It is not a simple way. It will demand an action by a large number of the members of the congregation. However, at an adjourned meeting of the session tonight, a group of attorneys who were appointed by the session will make a unanimous recommendation to the session for a series of steps to be undertaken that we believe will remove our property from jeopardy. Now, I'm not going into the details of what the action is. It's an action that has never been presented to this congregation before. And it's complicated, and I'm not going to go into it because the session has not yet approved it. However, because of the uncertainty about our property, many of you have expressed concern about pledging to our building program. As a matter of fact, we are geared up to begin taking pledges this morning at all the services, and some of your officers, including your senior pastor, have already made commitments to the building program. However, I am calling the pledging to the building program to a halt this morning. We are simply going to put this program on hold until we settle the issue of the control of our church property. Now, if the session tonight follows the course that will be recommended, by the 5th of June, and that's not very far away, by the 5th of June, it is possible that this matter will be entirely resolved. And once that has been accomplished, and once we have placed our property out of jeopardy, none of us will have an excuse not to commit to the building program. And I want to say to all of you who have expressed some reluctance or some unwillingness to pledge because of this uncertainty, once it is removed, I confidently expect you to put your money where your complaint has been. Now, an awful lot of people have been praying about this conflicting position here at Central. And for a time, it has appeared that godly, sincere people on two sides of an issue were headed for a conflict that would rupture this congregation. And nobody wanted that to happen. The only party that would profit from such a thing would be the devil. And people have been praying, and I believe God is answering those prayers and helping us walk through a most difficult time. And we're going to come out of this more united and stronger than ever before. God doesn't want the witness of this church ruined by deep division, and I'm confident He's healing what could have been a disastrous situation. Now, as your pastor and as your spiritual shepherd, I ask all of you to continue to pray for our congregation. And I admonish all of us not to be murmuring, not to be whispering, not to write any more letters, not to call any more meetings to stir trouble. Your session is responsible for leading this congregation. They will give you the leadership you need. Look to your elders collectively for leadership, as the session will be making recommendations to you in the immediate future. You trust your session and do not listen to others. There may be some who are self-appointed to try to tell you what to do. Don't you give them a minute's thought. We believe the Bible has given us a method for ruling the church. Our elders have been called of God, ordained by Him, and collectively together they are the means that we Presbyterians believe God speaks to His people and gives them leadership. Now that's a basic conviction of Presbyterians, and those of you who have come to us from some other background, I want you to understand what it means to be a Presbyterian. We believe in rule by elders, not individually. An individual elder has no right to rule. It's the session collectively, the elders collectively, who rule the church. And we believe that God uses the session as His instrument to lead His people. Now, the session, of course, can and does err from time to time. But we are committed to the principle that God leads His people through the session. So let's be in prayer that God will guide our session as it seeks to give us leadership in the ways of the Lord. Now, let me remind you of what I have said. We are going to put this building program on hold until our property is secure. I anticipate that that will be by June the 5th. But when that is done, I expect all of us to get busy and united and raise that $3 million we need to get on with the Lord's business, to get on with our building program, and get on with all of our ministries. Now, let me tell you why I think we can raise the funds. First, God never asks us to give what we don't have. God never asks us to give what we don't have. Do you realize what a great spiritual principle that is? God will not ask you to give a thing that He hasn't already provided or will provide. And as you and your family continue to pray about your gift to the building program, I believe God's going to lay a figure on your heart, and I hope it's so big it takes your breath away. And I believe He's going to give the husband and wife spiritual agreement about the amount that every family is to give. And I hope it just shocks you to death. But the amazing thing is this. God will not ask anyone to give what He doesn't have. And if God gives you a figure as a family, you can believe that He's already provided it or He will provide it, and you can meet that commitment. But the question that you and I will be facing in the building campaign is this. Not do we have it, but are we willing to part with what God has provided? Now, that's really a different question, isn't it? Not do we have it, but will we part with it? You see, the fact of the matter is, we could build this building in 3 weeks and pay for it. If somebody came and put a gun to your head and said, do you want to give the money necessary to build that building? We say, yes, sir, I'll give it, because we got it. But that's not the question. The question is, will we part with it? Do you remember the story of how God used Moses to bring the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt? When they had escaped through the Red Sea and were safely away into the wilderness, God gave them instructions for building a tabernacle. Now, to build a kind of tabernacle that God commanded demanded some precious things. It demanded gold and silver, fine linens, bronze, jewels, and many wonderful things. But these were former slaves. Their ancestors had been slaves for 400 years. And here are some escaped slaves out in the wilderness. And where are they going to get these expensive things to give to God? How could God expect these people to build the kind of expensive tabernacle He called for? Well, I want to tell you something. The fact is, God didn't ask them for a thing they didn't already have. The fact is, before they left Egypt, God had the Egyptians shower these people with many precious things so that when the time came to build a tabernacle out there in the wilderness, the Hebrews had everything that was needed. Isn't that amazing? God didn't ask them for a thing they didn't have. He had already made provision. Do you know what the real question for the Hebrews was out there in the wilderness? The real question was, would they part with what God had provided? They'd been slaves for a long time. They'd never before had this kind of wealth, gold and silver and fine linens and jewels. Would they part with it? Now, that's the real question you and I face. Do you and I have the resources to build the building we need? Well, you know very well we do. If we were of a mind, we could pay for it in 6 months, let alone 3 years. God has made wonderful provision for you and me. We have more than any peoples in the history of the world. We have so much. But the real question is, will we part with it for the Lord? Now, to do so may mean some sacrifice of a minor nature, but I guarantee you one thing, none of us are going to go hungry for what we give. None of us will go naked. None of us will go unsheltered. At most, we'll deprive ourselves of a few luxuries. But we have what God asks us to give. You know, don't say, I don't have it. You do. I do. So when God asked the Hebrews out there in the wilderness to give, He had already made provision. He didn't ask them to give what they didn't have. This brings me to our scripture for this morning. Moses called the congregation of Israel together, told them what God wanted them to do, and then in verse 20, the Bible says they departed from the presence of Moses. He sent them home, and I'm going to send you home in a minute. And I want you to do what they did. I want you to go home and pray about it. See what God wants you to do. But do you know what happened after they did that? The Bible says their hearts were stirred. The Bible says their spirits moved them. And then they began to bring their gifts. Different people brought different things, but each brought what God had provided for him to bring. And we're not all going to bring the same thing, the same amount, because we have different resources. But we're going to bring according to what God has given us to bring. And they kept bringing, and they kept bringing, and they kept bringing. And do you know what happened? They brought so much, Moses had to stop them. He had to tell them to quit bringing their gifts. He said, let neither man nor woman do anything more for the offering for the sanctuary. And then the Bible says, so the people were restrained from bringing. And I, you know, for the stuff they had sufficient, for the stuff they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. And you know, I can just see the deacons out there on the steps and you coming in with your wallets, you know, don't bring any more. Isn't that amazing? When they went home and prayed about it, they began to bring the gifts that God had provided. For God didn't ask them to bring anything they didn't have. So their hearts were stirred and their spirits were moved. And then they began to bring their gifts until Moses had to tell them to stop. Well, now we've been going through a difficult time in the past several weeks. And I think we're going to be stronger as a family of God for it. You know, every family has disagreements but a real family works through those things and comes out loving each other more and being stronger as a family. Now, once this property issue is settled, which it will be within a matter of weeks, I expect all of us, without exception, to begin to bring what God has already provided for us to bring. And I make you this promise. When you've brought enough, I'll tell you when it's time to stop. Now let's pray. God, I send your people home asking you to convict every family. Stir our hearts, move our spirits, and help us to bring and bring and bring until there's enough and more for the work. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.